Hello, welcome to Swiss Up, a podcast about Swiss entrepreneurship, sharing ideas, projects, and stories from founders and people making Switzerland the most innovative country in the world. Podcast is about Cosmos, a startup that is reinventing education and building the new kind of school in virtual reality. I met with John and his team in September in San Francisco, and I found their project very useful for teenagers and adults who would like to learn very specific topics, such as building a rocket, for instance. You can support their vision and project to make education a VR experience on their Kickstarter campaign. You will find the link in the podcast description. Thank you very much for listening. I hope you learn new things and enjoy. So, hello, John. So we are here on Market Street in San Francisco. We are in your office. So it would be great if you could describe maybe a bit more about what you do, what's your startup, what's your project.
Yeah. Sure. So my name is John. I'm the founder of Cosmos. Mm-hmm. I'm a co-founder. My co-founder is called Dorina, and we have one more employee called Marilee, and a small office in San Francisco. What we're doing with Cosmos, we're building a K-12 school that exists only in virtual reality.
Mm-hmm. Is it like for unspecific like subjects or topics, or you know, the VR like experiences that you aim to develop?
I think it's important to understand that, you know, our ambition is to build a complete school. So we want that in the future kids can go to school, mm-hmm. like, and get a diploma just by going into school in virtual reality.
It's not just in classrooms they will.
No. Okay. So I think it's an important distinction. We're not building software for the classroom. Mm-hmm. We're building standalone school.
Okay.
And the way we start is now with some single classes that students can just take, mm-hmm. in addition to their normal school. You know, and the way it works is a class takes around 8 hours currently, and like 8 one-hour sessions.
Okay.
And there's a project team of five students, mm-hmm. and a teacher. And they meet, you know, in specific times, meet in virtual reality in our software, in our experience.
So they can be in five different countries and connect in the same... Okay, so that's a good way for people to meet, I guess.
The cool thing about VR really is that it really feels like you're there, and like in our first class, your goal is to build a rocket together with your project team.
A rocket?
And like you really built that rocket, and you know, it's like 70 meters high. And
okay, really? Okay,
yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, later too, yeah. But basically, and then you can like go into the rocket and like launch, you know.
Okay. That's so cool. Yeah. Okay. So it's not. Is it meant to like replace schools or not? Not at all. It's like.
Replace has always this negative connotation, but we do think that everything in the future, a lot of stuff, what we do, like work and learn and play, mm-hmm. will happen in virtual reality, anyways.
Okay.
So schools will have to move to virtual reality, I think.
Right.
To stay competitive, to stay relevant. Mm-hmm. So in that sense, we're just seeing ourselves as a new kind of school.
Okay, cool.
A new medium.
Okay, so we will come back to that. So maybe it would be great to have to know a bit more about your background, where you come from, why you are in San Francisco now.
Sure. So I was born and raised in Zurich. My co-founder Doreen is also from Switzerland, from St. Gallen, although she studies in Zurich.
So you met at university?
We met, no, I studied in St. Gallen, she's from St. Gallen.
Oh, right, okay.
We met at my previous company that I started in Zurich 5 years ago, together with two friends. It's called Chimpy, used to be called Battery.
Okay.
But what we do there is we rent out power banks at the kiosk or Avec.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're running low on smartphone battery, you can go there, rent it, use it, and then return it at any of the 1,000 locations.
Yeah, okay, that's cool. Yeah, yeah. So is it still...
It's still running, yeah.
Okay.
So Doreen and I met there, and then, you know, beginning of 2017, we decided it's a good time to do something that we're more interested in, which is education.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the summer of 2017, we left the company. To start a new company, Cosmos, and move to San Francisco. But Battery or Chimpy is still going on. It's actually going great. It's growing. My two co-founders are still in the management.
Okay.
I'm
cool.
Still involved as a board member, but not in the day-to-day.
I see. And you moved to San Francisco because of the Swiss Next program, or you moved to San Francisco just because it's more innovative here?
Yeah, no, we don't work together with SwissNext.
Okay.
We just know them. Like,
right.
We hang out with them. I think they're a nice bunch of people. But no, we don't formally work with them. We moved to San Francisco because I compared to, you know, if you want to become a famous actor, you should move to Hollywood.
Right.
And I think if you want to create a startup that has potentially great impact, then your chances are higher if you are in Silicon Valley.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah.
I mean, it's possible from anywhere in the world, but just like, your chances, I think, are higher here. That's why we said, you know, let's give it a try.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't like it, just go back.
Yeah, of course.
And so far, we're here for more than a year, and we love it. And,
okay.
Plan on staying for a couple
of years. So where are you in the development of Cosmos then? Have you've built one classroom, I would say, like one experience?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we are in the process of building the first experience.
Okay, right.
We have a demo so far, and the first class, we call it Project.
Mm-hmm.
It's a project-based school.
Mm-hmm.
Will launch in November.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but we've already people, you know, signed up for it. So we just and after finish building it, which we should be able to do.
Okay.
And we have a teacher who is an AP physics teacher, like a high school teacher,
yeah,
that will teach the class.
Okay, yeah. I see. So so every project or like every experience, you will need to find a real teacher and then. Record, okay. So do you have like developers or do you develop the software yourself or?
Yeah, so we are developers, like
okay.
Merely and I are software engineers.
Okay.
And then Dorina does all the 3D art and 3D modeling.
I see.
It's not her background. She studied environmental sciences,
mm-hmm.
but you know, turns out she's really talented and likes doing it. So
good news,
yeah.
Then. Okay, I see. And so did you receive funding already or like how do you function for now?
I mean, right now we're bootstrapped.
Okay.
We finance part of it from our savings, Doreen and I. And then we just did like a small friends and family round.
Okay.
Recently.
So you're looking to raise money after the first project is or not really? Or?
I mean, like we want to, like our strategy is that we can survive without raising money.
Okay.
To charge people for the classes.
Oh, so yeah, so that's how it's gonna work then. Okay.
Exactly, they pay.
So they pay for one class or they pay for like, you know, membership or like, how does it work?
Currently they pay per class.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Price is $200 per class.
Okay.
So $8, yeah. And yes, exactly. So, but you know, to come back to the funding question,
mm-hmm.
I think eventually it would make sense probably to raise also venture capital.
Right.
But we don't want to be in a situation where we depend on it.
Okay, yeah. I see. Great. So, what's your, you know, what's your next steps? You know, so are you reaching out to universities, or like, are you trying to, you know, how is it? You know, what's your next steps in like the 6 months, in 6 months, 1 year mark? Yeah. You know, yeah.
So, basically, now our next milestone is to, you know, like around the first class in November, and hopefully that goes well.
Mm-hmm.
And if that goes well, we can run many more of the same classes,
mm-hmm.
different students, and start developing the next class, which will probably, so the first one is more physics, right. chemistry, and the second one we're looking at something like botany.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay.
Where, you know, went to a couple of botanical gardens,
mm-hmm.
and really inspired by plants, and a lot of kids don't have access to a garden, don't understand where
mm-hmm.
it comes from, and I think it's really important for health and environmental sustainability that
mm-hmm.
people understand how botany works.
Okay, yeah, no, I
yeah.
think it's great, yeah,
and
yeah,
I
yeah.
think VR is a perfect medium to show that,
mm-hmm.
because it's hard to do in the real world.
No, for sure.
Yeah.
And so how do you reach out to teenagers or like kids, or like who is your target audience first? Is it like teenagers or children or young adults maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Or adults maybe, yeah, yeah.
No, currently it's 13 to 15 year olds.
Okay.
Eventually, you know, we want to cover the whole first to 12th grade.
Okay.
So let's see. But it's easier, I think it's a good age group to start with.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, speaking from a business perspective, of course, the parents pay.
Yes.
So currently we go through the parents.
Okay.
We go through the parents, as I said earlier to you today, that we're launching a Kickstarter
mm-hmm.
now. Because like, I think that one might be, we're looking at parents who are enthusiastic about new technologies and in the best case already have like a VR headset at home. You know,
yes.
Mm-hmm. So there's a small target group,
mm-hmm.
like a niche group, but also we can't support a lot of students anyways.
No.
We need like, you know, like 10, 20, 30 parents to sign up for this
exactly.
initially. So
yeah.
That's fine. And then we're also working together with partner organizations like scientific institutions
right.
That on the one hand help us acquire customers.
Mm-hmm.
So in this, for example, we're working together with the New York Academy of Sciences.
Okay, yeah.
And
like even at museums maybe you can,
exactly.
yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But we didn't have time to approach more.
No, I understand.
Got an introduction to them and like it worked out well. But like I think these types of organizations, botanical gardens, museums,
mm-hmm.
like maybe the California Academy of Sciences
yes.
here, could be a great partner in terms of acquisition, but also like in terms of developing the content.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know we're not experts in every field.
No. Yes.
For them, it could be cool to co-develop stuff. It doesn't also co-develop stuff with companies like you know let's say SpaceX.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
yeah. I like SpaceX.
Yeah, because you have
like a fanboy.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I am no. So because they might be interested in co-developing.
Yes, of course.
Class with us.
Yeah. So how is the education, like the VR education market? You know, is it very competitive? Like we know Google Expeditions. So you differentiate from Google Expeditions because you don't need to be in a classroom to do. Google.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly.
But then, you know, how is the market like?
Yeah, so it's interesting. The market is new.
Mm-hmm.
I think, like, emerging.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, so in general, I think most, the almost every VR educational app is meant for to enhance the classroom experience. So
right.
as a teacher, you can
mm-hmm.
have, like, a headset.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, Google Expeditions, you can travel to places. Or like look at animals, which you know often also is more augmented reality AR.
Okay.
Because it's people already have smartphones, so it's easier. You know, people don't have to buy new hardware.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, you don't get the same like effect or possibilities you get with VR.
Mm-hmm.
So I think most of the apps we see are in that direction,
mm-hmm.
like, which is great. But I don't know any other company that's trying to build like a standalone school like you do.
Yeah.
Maybe there are, but I hope there are, because I think it's going to be a big market, so we
yes.
need more schools. Yeah, and if you look just briefly at the history of VR, you know, the Oculus Go, which is Oculus's first standalone headset.
Yes.
Got released in May of this year, so, you know, not a couple of months.
No, exactly.
Ago.
Yeah.
And, it's a game changer in that you don't need to plug it into a computer to run.
No.
You can just put it on and it just starts running, so it's almost as easy as a smartphone.
Yes.
And that's a key difference, I think. And this is, only $200 to buy, and, mm-hmm. It's cheap. And so I think for us, this is, the beginning of the mainstream.
Yes, I see.
And therefore, it's, really new, but I think now it's gonna grow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. And so in terms of, you know, San Francisco compared to Switzerland, so you said you moved to San Francisco because it's the mecca of startups, but don't you think that in Switzerland it's you've built a startup in Switzerland before, so
yeah.
why, what's the comparison between both? What do you think the startup ecosystem in Switzerland is lacking or mm-hmm. is better than here in San Francisco? It'd be great to have your view.
Sure. So I think, there are some obvious differences.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of more funding here. All the VCs are here. Then all the big tech companies are here.
Mm-hmm.
And all the big startups are also here.
Yes.
Or at least have an office here.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means is it's a lot easier to get in touch with people,
mm-hmm.
meet with people. But that's kind of obvious. For me, more interesting are the unobvious differences, non-obvious differences, which it's a little bit the culture and the mindset in Silicon Valley. A lot of people come here with the goal to achieve something. Ambition.
Mm-hmm.
Most people that you meet here are not from here. They moved here with a goal. And that creates this really dynamic and culture where people, you know, want to achieve something and
very driven. Yeah.
Exactly. And a lot of them are dreamers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure if I tell we're building a new school in virtual reality, most of my Swiss friends or people who are, very open-minded will say, no, it's not never going to work. And I know that probability is going to work, so maybe 1%, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But if it works, it's going to be really awesome. So I think it's worth working on this.
Yeah.
And people here understand that they have the same mindset. And so it's easier to... If you have discussions, you have constructive feedback,
mm-hmm.
And not dismissive feedback, which, you know, as an entrepreneur, most of the stuff you do doesn't work, so the last thing you need is, people criticizing you not non-constructive way, you know. Feedback is great, but it needs to be constructive.
Mm-hmm.
And the second thing in the mindset is that there's a pay-it-forward culture, so people will help you for non-obvious short-term reward for them, just because someone helped them, you know, to
mm-hmm.
get to where they are.
Yeah, okay, I see.
So if you write an email to an investor or maybe not to Mark Zuckerberg, but
mm-hmm.
to a startup, a founder of a startup that is, you know, 30, 40, 100 people,
mm-hmm.
And successful and growing, they will
reply
and meet quickly, even, or have a call with you, you know.
Right.
This is fast, they will say, okay, do you have time tomorrow?
So, okay.
Maybe, you know, do you have time in 3 weeks, and then I'm on holidays, and then maybe in 2 months, you know?
Okay,
so, and the startup time is super important, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You want to know fast.
Go fast.
So I think those are the main differences that make, they don't make it necessarily easier to start a company here because you have more competition also. But if you build something cool, I think it's easier to to grow faster and get realize your potential.
I see. Okay.
Yeah, I think if you look at the startups, like quality of startups, the quality of people that are here, if you had like a box plot, you know, like the the middle two quartiles would be like the same as in Switzerland if you had the quality, but like the outliers are much higher, especially in the positive direction here.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So meaning there is more support, or there is more...
More support, I guess.
Better vibes, yeah.
Exactly, like it's a combination of things. It's not like... It's a culture, right? It's, you can't even write it down. It's like how it feels, how people behave.
No, I see.
This is again like a dynamic system. It's hard to, like, a lot of countries try to, oh yeah, we want to be the Silicon Valley of this, but it's hard to, it took like 50, 60 years to develop. You can't just like copy it, you know?
No, I agree, yeah.
So yeah, this is, I think.
And do you think that, in the last few years, Switzerland has become more innovative, or is it a good place to start? I mean, if you were once just the founder of your first company, if you just start, do you have an advice to Swiss entrepreneurs on how they can still be successful in Switzerland?
I'm not saying you can't be.
No.
Switzerland's a good. Probably it's not the best country to start up, but it's also not the worst, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it really depends on what kind of startup you're doing. Like I have some friends here that have an office here, an office in Zurich,
right?
Because engineering, like this one particular friend, like drones, and like it's easier to find and cheaper to find drone, engineers that have like drone experience
in Switzerland.
In Switzerland,
okay.
Because of the ETH, right? Another friend does AI for customer service, and he. Same reasoning as says it's easier to find people because there's less competition. Like all the competition you got in Zurich is Google. That's it.
Yeah, exactly. That's like everyone. Yeah.
And what they also say, like people are more loyal.
Mm-hmm.
Once they join your team.
Yeah.
And they're cheaper.
Yeah.
Which is funny
to compare to
low salary country, but I guess for this particular instance, it's true.
Okay.
So. I think, I like remote work, so there's no reason we would not hire people from Zurich or something. Like, it doesn't really... So, I think that's an advantage, like, the access to talent is maybe better in Zurich than in Silicon Valley right now. At least at the moment, yeah.
Okay, that's good to
know. Yeah. But it also depends, like, in the end, if you have a software product, that sells globally over the internet, doesn't really matter. If you have that product like battery, we're limited by the size. It's a retail product. Right now, we're trying to expand to different countries, but it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
Like here in the US, I'm sure it's easier to expand because it's like one big market, right?
Right.
So stuff like that, I think about that. But then also, like as I said, I think for any business, just being here for a couple of years, like building up your network, like getting to know people will help you.
Yeah, for sure. And then you learn from others as well who have been successful.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's a network effect as well.
Definitely, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not a fan of networking. I never go to networking events. I think it's mostly bullshit. But you will meet people inevitably. You will meet friends. You will go to a friend's party.
Of course.
You will meet someone who also does something cool and then you will hang out. So... It's pretty cool.
No, that's true. In the 2 weeks that I've been here, I met some cool people, even in the lift, in the lift or like Uber. Yeah. I'm like, that's so cool. So in terms of your mission, so you want to be, the Cosmos is the school of the future.
Yeah.
So anything to add on that?
No, I think that's it. I think we're building the next generation of schools.
Mm-hmm.
We hope to kind of like... accelerate this process and so that other schools will say, hey, well, this is VR school is a viable alternative to real world schools.
Mm-hmm.
We have all these advantages, and can bring like better quality education to more kids at a fraction of the cost.
I see. Great. So, and you have your Kickstarter campaign starting?
Yeah, we have the Kickstarter campaign starting in a couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can check it
out. So we will share that. Okay, cool. Great. Thank you very much.